I could now try to transition from one thing into another. And I've been speaking to you over the last couple of weeks about the spirit of Joshua and the seven characteristics that he had in his life that are mentioned throughout the scripture. And we're going to stand in honor of the word of the Lord today. We're going to read Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. If you have your Bibles, you can open there. If not, there are Bibles in the pew. If not, look behind on the board. We're making it possible so you can read God's word, right? Amen. That's what we do. So in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised to Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river of the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Sounds familiar, right? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Again, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Three times. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Father, we just bow our hearts in a word of prayer this hour, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to just seal in us the truth of this scripture verse and the characteristics of Joshua's life. We ask you to give us ears to hear and eyes to see what your Spirit is saying this day to this church at its time of history. Bless, O God, the hearers that are here. Be with the children's church and the nursery workers as they watch over our children. And again, just be with Jeff and Jamie. Watch over them, O God. You know the decisions and the many things that are going to have to be made in the days ahead. And we're praying for strength and wisdom for them now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. A few years ago, I was reading a book called The Monk Prayer. It's a nice book if you want to read about prayer and about having isolated prayer. But Richard in that book, Richard Cardinal Crushing, wrote these words in The Monk's Prayer. And it says, if all the sleeping folks will wake up and all the lukewarm folks will get fired up, and all the disgruntled folks would sweeten up, and all the discouraged folks will cheer up, if all the depressed folks will look up, and all the estranged folks will make up, and if all the gossiping folks will just shut up, is what he said, and all the dry bones will shake up, and all the true soldiers would stand up, and all the church members would pray up, and if the Savior of all of us will be lifted up, then we can have the greatest revival that this world has ever seen. We can put ourselves in the place of what he's saying, because sometimes we fall in those categories. None of us are exempt from problems that happen in life, and none of us are exempt from the struggles that life may bring. And the strongest warriors are going to be the warriors that go through the toughest times. The strongest warrior or the strongest leader is going to be someone who is willing to stand up and allow God to reveal himself. Also in the same book, I came upon this, that Reinhold Niebuhr was a famous theologian, and he wrote these words. Now, does anybody know here who Reinhold Niebuhr is? Just out of curiosity. I know you know, Dave, because we talked about this before. He is a man, the gentleman that made, who put this prayer together which now the Alcoholics Anonymous, Bill Wilson and Alcoholics Anonymous, has adopted it to be a part of their prayer, part of their prayer. And it says this: God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Living one day, what? At a time. Now, let me go on and read the rest of that prayer that a lot of people don't pray. Enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as he did the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will. It's not talking about a higher power here. It's talking about God. Okay? About God. That we may be reasonable, happy in this life, supremely happy with him forever in the next. Amen. You know, church, there's just something about different prayers and different experiences that people go through, and they share that with us, humanity. Things that we can get from, we can glean from, and then we can say, yeah, that applies in my life. And as you look at the life of Joshua today, and we've been looking at the life of Joshua, we come to understand that Joshua was going to be faced with many trials and many tribulations, that he needed the spirit of courage to be upon him. God even knew that, and he said three times to Joshua, be courageous. Be courageous. I mean, God, who knows us and who knows every aspect of us, let Joshua know, Joshua, you got to be courageous. I don't know what type of man Joshua was, but I know what type of man he became. And as you sit here today, I don't know what type of person you are, but I know the type of person God wants you to be. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, the characteristics of the spirit of courageousness that God will give to his people. Through that spirit of courageousness, Joshua was able to cross the Jordan River. He was able to conquer Jericho strongholds. He was able to climb those intimidating mountains that were facing in his life. And I want to encourage you today, if you have Jordan rivers that need to be crossed, if you have Jericho walls that need to come down, or if you have mountains before you that God needs to cast into the sea, be courageous. Have courage to know that God knows what you, where you're at and what you're going through. We got to allow God to pour faith and reassurance into our hearts and into our lives. I came upon another scripture found in Acts chapter 27. I knew it was there, but it just rang a bell today. Verse 25 through 29, when Paul and the people that were on the boat were traveling to Rome, and as they were on the boat, Paul gave them instructions. God appeared to me last night, and God told me that if no one leaves this boat, that everyone will be saved. And then he says, you got to throw everything overboard. And they gave him instructions what to do. And at the end of that, they took communion. And when after they were taking communion, Paul gave him these words, be strong and be courageous. Again, the echoes of a man's life in the Old Testament is seen in the New Testament as an example to give us the faith and the courage that we need for what is ahead. Be strong, be courageous. That's what I said to Jeff yesterday when he was leaving, and we prayed for him. And as he was going to the hospital, I said, Jeff, be courageous, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Those words, if they didn't sink in, they didn't sink in. If they did sink in, it sunk in his spirit. And that's where we are all in life. We need to be courageous when we go through things and we go through hard times, and suffering will come our main away. We have to maintain that spirit. And how do we maintain that spirit other than keeping our eyes focused on the Lord? Now, again, I'm just going to do a brief summary, okay, Josh? So you just try to follow me. The first characteristic, of course, of Joshua was that what? That you can have, in prayer, you can have power over the devil. So look for that characteristic, Josh. They have that on their paper, but you just have to look for it, okay? That's the first characteristic. And I can preach this all over again. But victory only comes through prayer. Victory only comes through prayer. That's the only way victory comes, through prayer. A prayerless person is a defeated Christian. But if you're praying, you're seeking God, just like Joshua, like Moses, we see victory does come. So that's having a courageous spirit or having a prayer spirit over the powers of the devil. The second one we looked at, the second characteristic of the courageous spirit is a willingness to serve God and care less who gets the credit. That's humility. That's humility. Prayer is the first one, and humility is the second one. That you don't care who gets the credit as long as God gets the glory. I hope I didn't steal Tim's reward in heaven by saying what he did. But nonetheless, you want to give honor where honor is due and stuff. But nonetheless, we do what we do not to get accolades or pats on the back. We do it out of humility. And we want God to get all the credit. We want God to get all the honor. And we saw that in the second characteristic of Joshua. Now, the third characteristic of Joshua we found was this, a willingness to commit to staying in the presence of God. That's probably one of the hardest challenges that we all face in this room today, staying in the presence of God. Staying in the presence of God means this, a willingness to give up something temporal for something eternal, a willingness to sacrifice immediately for the intimacy with God, and also a willingness to narrow my interest in seeking the face of God. So there's just something about your commitment staying in the presence of God. There's a commitment. There's a commitment to be a Christian these days. I said that to you. There's a commitment. It's not something that just comes your way because of birth or becomes your way because you go to this certain church. It comes your way because you're committed to it. And when you know the one in whom you're committed to, like it says in Philippians chapter, or in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, for I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. There's something about commitment that is made and something that allows you to stick to it. So prayer, humiliation, or humility and commitment. Now, the fourth characteristic I want to talk to you about today is found in Numbers chapter 14. And this is Joshua's spirit of courage. In chapter 14, verses 6 through 9, it reads, Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israel nation, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. That's what it says. Do not rebel against the Lord. And do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is what? With us. Church, there's just something about the characteristic of what we're going to be speaking about here that is found in Joshua's life. Some of you know the story in Numbers chapter 13 that they sent out 12 spies throughout the land. The 12 spies, what they were going to do, they were going to take a report of the land. They were going to be 40 days in the land, getting kind of scoping out the land, what is there, what is good, what is bad, what they're up against. These 12 spies went out. That's what they did. When they ended up coming back, they needed to give a report. And each of them gave a report. 10 of them gave what? A negative report, an evil report, full of doubt and disbelief. But Caleb and Joshua, they came back with a positive report. They came back saying, we can possess it. We can do it. The others were saying, no, we can't. They were saying, yes, I can. You ever see that before? No, I can't. Yes, I can. No, I can't. Yes, I can. This was going on, 10 against 2. And what ended up happening, they ended up believing the 10 instead of believing the 2. And when they believed the 10, they had no faith or courageousness in God. All they had was fear and trembling by the report that was given. They are stronger than us, they said. They're too big for us to conquer. We're like grasshoppers in their own sight. This is a report that they were given. But Joshua responded and said to them in Numbers 14, verse 8, the Lord will bring us in. Why will the Lord bring us in? Because the Lord is what? With us. Emmanuel, God with us. The Lord is with us. When God opens a door, he opens it and makes a way for you. And when God opens the door, no man can close the door. God opened the door for the Israelites to go into the promised land, to possess it and to take it. But yet there were 10 that gave an evil report. And though the door may have been open, their unbelief, their not believing in God and what God said, made God close that door. And what's so important about this is because once the door is closed, once God closes the door is closed. You can't open it. You can't pry it open. They even said to themselves, we will go and we will possess the land. And Moses says, don't go. You're not going to be successful. It's not going to happen. It's not going to take place. And if they try to go, which they ended up trying to go, they're going to die. And that's what happened. Some of them died because they were going outside of God's will. Joshua went on in verse number 9 and says, they are bread for us to take. The Lord is with us. Fear not. They are bread for us to take. They are a means. They are a substance to take care of us. Sometimes when we do go into territory or we do go into ministry or we go into any type of calling God places on our lives, whom God calls, he will provide for. He always has and he always will. I'm sure our missionaries can testify to that, that God always provides. When we look like there's no provision, that there's no way, God always makes a way. I don't understand it other than God does it, because that's what God does. And Joshua recognized that. We can take it. It's they're bread for us. Everything is there for us to have. But yet the 10 spies focus on their limitations. The 10 spies focus on their murmuring. And somebody who has a murmuring spirit and not a courageous spirit, a murmuring spirit, according to James chapter 1, verse 8, is a complaining spirit. A murmuring spirit is a complaining spirit. And their murmuring spirit, their complaining spirit, shows us that they were spreading evil reports. The 10 spies see their need, but they didn't see God. The 10 spies poisoned the whole congregation. And the results of their unbelief was that whole generation was going to die. Anybody 20 and above was going to die in the wilderness. 40 years for every day that they spied out the land, every year, 40 years they were going to wander in the wilderness, and that whole generation of Israelites were going to die. They were going to die. We don't know how many people actually died. We know it was over 3 million, speaking of men, not speaking of women and children. A lot of people died. Matter of fact, in one day, 23,000 people died. Can you imagine doing a mass burial? I mean, you can't. You're just going to leave the bodies there. You would have to do something for it. You would have to dig graves, or you would have to do something and have a mass burial. Church, it's one thing when we have a death in the church of one person, but 23,000 people? That's a lot of people. A lot of people. Maybe that's why they wandered for 40 years, because they have to bury so many people. But nonetheless, that's what happened. The whole congregation spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. There were only two people that didn't wander in the wilderness, and you probably already know who they were, Joshua and Caleb, because they gave a good report. They were the only adults who crossed the Red Sea, and they crossed over into the Jordan River, into the promised land of Canaan. Moses, that was stripped from him. He didn't obey God. When God told him to speak to a rock, he struck the rock the second time. One time God says, strike the rock. The second time God says, just speak to it and living waters are going to come out of it. And all the water that is needed to give the children of the Israelites what they need for their journey. But Moses was upset at those people and he smote the rock. He broke the typology of God. And because he broke the typology of God, God then just did not punish Moses, but also punish Aaron. It was kind of interesting. If you look at the life in Aaron, and I'm getting off on a bunny trail, but Aaron did a lot of things that were wrong too. What did Aaron do? He crafted a golden calf, right? He spoke against Moses. And Moses' sister, Miriam, leprosy came upon her. But what about Aaron? He spoke against the leader. Why didn't anything happen to Aaron? See, Aaron was a type of Christ. He was a typology of a high priest. And because of that, God had to use his life as an example. But his time was coming. And when Moses broke God's command and disobeyed God and struck that rock, at that time, God pronounced judgment upon Moses, saying, you will not enter the promised land. Didn't say he wasn't going to heaven. He said, you're not going to enter the promised land. And your brother Aaron will die in the wilderness. See, God put the judgment on Aaron at that time because Moses was the leader. There's just something about leadership. There's something. We got it all wrong here in America. When a leader fails, maybe everyone underneath them should also be punished as well. Doesn't happen, and I don't want to go there, but there's a thought. Because of responsibility. Joshua said in verse 9, the Lord is with us, fear not. So the fourth characteristic of a courageous spirit is the Lord is with us. That with God, nothing is impossible. With God, everything is impossible, or possible, not impossible. Sorry. With God, you can't do it. It's impossible. But with God, it's possible. I'll just clarify that. The Lord is with us. Church, there's just something about that, knowing that the Lord is with you. Believing that God is bigger than your problems. You know, I remember years ago a song we used to sing in church. And maybe you know it. You can sing it with me. But it goes like this. God is bigger than all my problem, bigger than anything. My God is bigger than any mountain I cannot see. My God is bigger than any question, bigger than anything. My God is bigger than any mountain I cannot see. I mean, that was a song that we used to sing that, and we used to have a movement of God around the altars because people would come and say, you're right, God is bigger than all my mountains. He's bigger than anything. My God is bigger than all of my problems and bigger than any situation that I face in life. Why is God bigger than that? Because he's with us. I want to encourage you today. I don't know what you're up against. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what's going on in your life. I just wrote a couple things down. What giants are you facing today? Has the devil been taunting you, tempting you to murmur and complain? Are you facing mountains that look too high to climb? Do you need a job or a financial need, men in your life, a miracle? Has the doctor said to you that your illness is going to take your life? Are you in need of a gift of healing? Church, that's what God does. That's what God does. The impasses of roadblocks in our lives, he's able to remove them. I remember I thought I was a wise guy one time that I went down a road where a sign says road closed. And I told my wife, they always make a way for the workers to get through. I am not going to go 1 hour out of my way where I need to be on the other side of that road is 5 miles. I said, I'm not going to go all the way around. And my wife saying, John, don't do it. Don't do it. But you know what? Sometimes you don't listen to your wife. And I didn't listen. I went down that road and the bridge was out. And she goes, see, I told you, don't do it. And she was right. But yet, sometimes in life, we have to experience those things. Sometimes in life, we have to experience those things where it says road is closed. There's a valid reason. You know, when God closes a door, there's a valid reason. But I know if he closes one door, another door is going to open. Because that's who God is. He doesn't leave you at an impasse. God has never left me at an impasse in my life. Over the years of my ministry, 44 years of ministry, God has been there. He's been with me each step of the way. He was with us even when I couldn't even see the outcome and the possibilities. All I said to my wife, are we willing? And she says, I'm willing. Are you? I said, yeah. And once we got to that place of willingness, doors begin to open. And church, that's what it's about. Knowing this, that God is with you. Have a courageous spirit. Don't allow hurdles and obstacles to look like giants in your eyes. Don't allow you to feel that you're a grasshopper. Know this, that God sees those obstacles. He's either going to leave them or he's going to take them. He's either going to remove them so you can go through or he's going to leave them. A delayed prayer does not mean a prayer that is denied by God. Just means that God is saying, not yet. Give him time to do what he's got to do. And if we can learn that, we can be very courageous. Have the Spirit, right, Josh? Do I have it? Yeah, I do. Have the Spirit. Believe in God. Let faith arise. See that God is bigger than your problems and challenges and anything that would intimidate you. So we looked at prayer is important as a characteristic. Humility is important. Commitment is important. As well as the Lord is with us. I want to get on to the fifth one, and I'm going to stop here. But the fifth characteristic is found in Numbers chapter 27, verses 15 to 23. And it reads, Moses said to the Lord, May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all mankind, appoint a man over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without shepherds. So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua. Now, the word take here doesn't mean like, you know, grab him. Like if I came down and took Timothy, grab with him, take Timothy. That's not what that means. God is saying here in this verse, as an example, take Joshua. Have you ever done that before when you're given an illustration of something? Take so-and-so as an example. Here God is dropping a suggestion, but more than that, Joshua's life was such an example that God says, take Joshua. Take him. Same Hebrew word that is used here is used in Job chapter 1 and chapter 2, where God says, have you considered my servant Job? In other words, God was saying, take Job. Take Job. Look at his life. He's a man who serves me. He does this. He does that. He honors me. And Satan goes, of course he does, because your hand of protection is upon his life. It's great when Satan recognizes when God's hand of protection is upon someone's life. But when God says, hey, I want you to take him and test him, knowing that your testing is ordered by God. It's not Satan having his own way. It's God's example for you to be a testimony to your family and the friend in this world that God is doing something. Now, again, I'm not saying if you're for Trump or you're against Trump, but for Trump to admit that God must have been there with him, because if he didn't turn his head at that right time, he would have been a dead man. Now, again, I'm not talking politics. I'm just talking recognition that someone would give honor to God for a protection that was in his life. I'm sorry. You can't help but I'm not giving favor. I'm not saying nothing about him. Don't go home and tell your mother, your father, your friend, pastor is for Trump, okay? I'm just telling you the example of giving credit to God for a miracle, in a sense, that was performed. Church, I'm sorry, there's no other way to look at that. He turned his head at the right time, and his life was spared. That's God's protection. I want to give credit where credit is due. I want to give all credit to God, not to the man. Amen? Give all credit to God, not to the man. Okay, let me go back on. I really got off track here. And it's 11:54, so I got a forward, right? Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is a spirit. And then God told him, lay your hands on him. Have him stand before Eleazar the priest, because now Aaron is gone, and the entire assembly, and commission him in their presence. There's something about giving recognition to whom honor is due. Give him some of your authority so the whole Israelite community will obey him. He is to stand before Eleazar the priest, who will obtain decisions for him by inquiring of the Urim before the Lord. At his command, he and the entire community of the Israelites will go out, and at his command they will come in. Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and had him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole assembly. Then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord instructed through Moses. Church, there will come a time in every generation when the baton will be passed. And this was the baton that was being passed from Moses to Joshua. This is the next event in Joshua's life, his appointment to be Moses' successor. Moses had prayed for the right person to follow him. Moses had prayed for many people, but yet God is the one who dropped on his heart the future decision of who the next man would be or woman. They use their natural reasoning and they use their cardinal opinions. But when it came down when God gives direction and God chooses someone, it causes people to be mystified. Think about this. Andrew went and found Nathanael underneath the tree and says, "Hey, I want you to come and see a man who tells you about everything. Everything. He's from Nazareth." And what was Nathanael's response? "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Church, when you say, "I go to the Oneonta Assembly of God," hopefully they will say, "That's a great church. I love that church." Hopefully they don't say, "Could any good thing come out of the Oneonta Assembly of God?" Prove them wrong. Prove them wrong. When God chooses and God calls, right, he makes a way. And then this is what happened. We can't look at natural reasoning. We can't look at our own opinions. They mean nothing. People tell me their opinion all the time, and I say, "What's the fact of the matter?" Opinions don't matter. Everybody has opinions. You know that. You deal with it. I deal with that all the time. Someone tells me, "I don't need to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior." I said, "That's your opinion. Let me show you the fact." And I opened the God's Word. And I said, "This is what God's Word says." "Well, I think my opinion trumps his." I said, "Well, when you stand before God, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Your opinion does not change who God is and what he will do. But the fact is of who God is will change you and what he wants to do for you." All right, let me quickly go on. What was God looking for? Numbers chapter 27, verse 18 gives us the answer. "Take Joshua, a man in whom is the Spirit of God." Church, I want to focus on this today in our closing as Christian comes up to the platform. I want you to get this. The fifth characteristic of a courageous spirit is having the Spirit of God. You need the Spirit of God in your life. You need God's Spirit to work in you and to perform in you what needs to be done. Yes, the rest of the worship team. I'm sorry, I pick on Christian, but you all, I know I need you all. But there's just something about the Spirit of God being in your life, being in your heart. Something about the Spirit of God working in you and having its way in you. What is it that gives you the spirit of courage that faces whatever you may face in life? It's being continuously filled with the Spirit of God. It's obeying the initial promptings of the Holy Spirit. It's separating yourself from anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit. It's important today that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. It's important today that we don't cause any discredit to the kingdom of God and what the kingdom of God can do in our lives. It's an honor to serve Jesus. It's a great privilege to serve Jesus in these times. I know some people don't want that, and I understand that. But I want to serve Jesus. I want to be the example. Pray for me. This Tuesday, I go to the Sheriff's Association Summers Camp. Well, I'll be speaking, that's not to cadets, but to the sheriffs and the under sheriffs of the state of New York. I mean, what an honor, what a privilege that I'm going to be able to be there on Tuesday to do this. But church, you know what? I don't look at the fact of who I am. I look at the fact of who is in me. Greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. I know it's not me. It's Christ that shines through me. I know the honor that is given is not honor for me to pat myself on the back, but it's the honor of God doing something in my heart and my life. That's what I want you to have. That's what I want you to strive for. The Spirit of God working in you and doing something special in your life. The book of Joshua is all about God's battle plan for victory. Normally, a battle plan is a classified information, but God wants all of his children to win their wars over this world, over the flesh, and over the devil. It is not only about what happens, but it's what God wants to happen in your lives. And that's where we're at. We're going to sing this song. And as we sing this song, I want you to close yourself in. Victory.